Gabe Rudiger's appearance on the Ultimate Fighter 5 reality show was certainly a controversial one, and we've invited him to Jari Park to talk about his experience on that show and what's in store for him come 2008. And Gabe, you know, it's been several months since you were on Tough 5. When you look back on it now, what goes through your mind?
I felt like, you know, I had a mental lapse where I was more concerned about television than fighting. And, you know, with that, I really just, you know, in retrospect, I wish I had just gone in and been serious. You know, it's unfortunate. I made a huge error that, like, you know, I had to kind of hurt my career in the long run. I really feel like I could have won the whole show. Looking at, you know, everybody that was involved my training partners and whatnot, I really feel like if I would have just been focused and serious instead of messing around, I would have won the whole thing. But, you know, it's unfortunate, but I got to move forward, you know.
Yeah, you mentioned kind of being so caught up in, you know, the TV aspect of it all and trying to maybe, you know, build a character for yourself on the show. Before they actually start taping the show, do the producers or Dana White or anyone at the UFC, do they talk to you about, you know, what type of behavior or what type of character they would like for you to portray or how they would like for you to be in front of the camera? Do they give you any pointers that you can sort of build a persona around, or was that just something that you thought of on your own, that it was something that you wanted to really portray in front of the camera?
No, you know, I spoke to a few people that were in, that were outside of the show that were in reality television, and you get a pretty good concept of what producers want and what they, you know, what's going to sell. I mean, it's obvious if you're the nice guy that's sitting around, you know, being nice with everyone, you're not going to get much camera time. You know, if you're the guy that's kind of pushing buttons and making things happen, then you're definitely going to be, you know, you're going to get more exposure.
Yeah, we actually come from like a pro wrestling background where, you know, everything is very black and white. You know, you have the good guys and the bad guys. And at first I thought the character, whether it was real or not, was great, because you were clearly establishing yourself as this guy who, for whatever reason, some people in the house didn't like. But at the same time, when push comes to shove, if you could win the fights, then you've definitely kind of cut yourself from the pack and made a name for yourself. Unfortunately, things didn't really turn out that way. But I was wondering, before we get into the fight and everything that's going down now in your career, when you heard about that you were going to be a part of the show, how much time before the actual taping began, and I'm getting to, you know, the weight situation and everything like that, did you have time to actually get into proper shape, the shape that you would have felt comfortable going into the show?
You know what? They called us 2 weeks before we were to, like, confirm that the cast was who the cast was. But in reality, I should have already been preparing like it was a guaranteed thing. You know, prior to the show, I've never had an issue. Like, you know, if I get heavy, like, I've always made weight. You know, I sit on the show and you know, people joke around about it, whatnot. But up to that point, you know, I've cut from, you know, 75 before on multiple occasions. That's the first time I've had an issue where, you know, I passed out, and, you know, wasn't unable to fight. I've always made weight, and I always felt like, you know, if I come in a little heavy, like, it'll be a little more dramatic. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't intentional per se, but I was walking and going like, oh, it's not a big deal because I've always made weight. And if anything, it's going to make a dramatic cut for the show. And again, I should have just, you know, I went to Thailand. I was in fight shape. What people don't realize is, like, I was in fight shape. I just wasn't being restrictive at my diet as I should have been. And even on the show, I got down to 170 at one point. And then, you know, everyone's like talking about the cake and everything, but actually, to be honest, the thing that I probably was eating that I shouldn't have been eating was organic whole wheat cereal. And I ended up like I would eat like 3 or 4 bowls of that a day. And that's like, if anything was really an issue, it probably would have been the cereal.
Now, okay, so you get to the trying to make weight part. And like you said, you had some trouble with that, almost got there. Now, now that you're looking back and how close you were, and that you were going to be fighting a guy in Corey Hill who has never had a professional fight in his career up until that point, I mean, deep down inside, you must have thought that, you know, if you would have gone to the cage, that that would have been a fairly easy victory. I mean, he was, you know, there was a lot of hype around him, around Corey, but I mean, you had over 13 fights under your belt at that point.
You know what? I was not concerned about Corey at all. You know, at the point, he was saying he had three or four fights and had everyone under, you know, the guys that he was that he had that many bouts. And you know, whether he had four fights or no fights, I really was not concerned about Corey. You know, obviously he's tall and lanky, and you know that could work for his benefit. But I was going to make it a detriment for him. You know. I think I would have finished Corey in the first round. I would love, I was, you know, like, I was talking to someone the other day about, you know, what would be optimal for my career at this point. And more so than anything is I would like to just go through the ranks in the UFC and fight all the guys on Ultimate Fighter to prove, you know, where I belong. And I think, like, it would be perfect if I fought Corey Hill, Matt Wyman, Joe Lauzon, and then, you know, was able to fight Nate Diaz right after that.
You know, Dana. Sorry.
What's that?
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, and I know I can beat every single one of those guys, handedly.
Dana White mentioned that actually just this past season on The Ultimate Fighter 6, with the whole Joe Scarola situation, that you know if you leave the show, you sort of have no chance of getting back into the UFC. And you mentioned a desire to fight those guys afterwards. Have you ever had any contact with them or any discussions about, you know, maybe you being the exception to the rule?
Well, you know, no, like you have to understand that Dana was talking about if you left under the, like, if you were one of the guys that just left the show, you know, I was in a different situation. But if you decidedly just leave the show, that is my understanding of what his issue was. We talked to Joe Silva, and Joe, you know, he wants to see what I do with other organizations. And, you know, it's not like they're opposed to bringing me back. It's been unfortunate because this year has just been one thing after another. You know, I've only had one fight in my weight class. I've had two high-level fights, high-profile fights fall through for whatever reason. And so, you know, this year has not been exactly a stellar year for my career. So I think conceivably I could go back to the UFC. It's just a matter of getting some fights and proving, you know, my worth.
Yeah, one of those fights that I think you're alluding to was potentially going to be on the K1 Pure Dynamite card, right? Dynamite USA.
Yeah.
And that was right kind of in the midst of the Ultimate Fighter 5, but you had already been off the show. What exactly happened there? Because at one point it seemed as though there was a very good chance of you fighting on that card in the LA Coliseum.
I mean, everything was squared away. It was a Wednesday. I was driving with my manager to the press conference. He got a phone call from Armando Garcia, the California State Athletic Commissioner, and he said that there was some issues with my mental capacity that needed to be squared away, which was just completely unheard of. And you know, I've done all my tests. I was just licensed in Nevada. I've had my license in California before. It was unjust. There was no reason behind it whatsoever. You know, I told him I would talk to a mental health physician. He said, no, there's not enough time. There's not enough time. So he wouldn't license me for the fight. You know, 2 weeks later, you know, I saw a psychiatrist or a psychologist, whichever one makes that decision. And with a 5 minute phone call, I had my license. So, you know, that was a little disheartening. I was in great shape for that fight. You know, the guy I was going to fight, Nagata, was a perfect matchup for me. And then another, it's just, this year has been just, you know, one letdown after another.
You know, I read an interview with Armando Garcia following that show, and he said that he's never even seen The Ultimate Fighter before, and that the only reason why he didn't allow you to fight on the card was because you couldn't get the paperwork in time. So, I mean, clearly, who knows if he's telling the truth or not about watching the show, but what exactly does not making weight have to do with your mental health? I mean, there have been guys who haven't made weight before, so what kind of an explanation did he give you in terms of that?
He never gave an explanation. He felt it wasn't necessary, and I looked, you know, into legal action, And unfortunately, to try to sue, what it essentially comes down to is suing the state of California. My lawyer decided to kind of not put forth the effort because of, you know, financial. Like, well, I made the final decision that it was just financially unattainable to sue the California, you know, government. And he didn't ever feel like he never gave any real explanation. He alluded to the fact that there was some concern and that he, you know, thought that if I were to lose that fight, that I wasn't mentally stable, basically what he was saying.
But obviously that he's getting that sort of hypothesis from the show, right? I mean, he's clearly heard of your appearance on the show, because I just found it weird to think that he said that he never, you know, heard of you or The Ultimate Fighter or anything like that. You know, your relation, not you specifically, but, you know, your appearance on the show.
Yeah. I have no idea. I mean, you know, what Armando says and what reality is are two separate things, and the only person that knows that is Armando, you know?
But now you have no problems with them, right? Because you fought in a card in August in the state of California, so now all that
cleared. I'm licensed. Again, like, it came down to literally a 5-minute phone call. I went and saw a psychiatrist. He gave me the okay. He called the athletic commission. The athletic commission set up a phone appointment. They called him, and literally in a 5-minute span of time, they deemed me mentally stable to fight. And I have my reasons. I think there's a lot more going on than that, considering that I know of at least 4 fighters that are licensed in California that are, you know, clinically bipolar, and you know, they have their license. So I don't know.
Now, after all of that, would you ever have any discussions with the K1 organization, and they have their heroes promotion in Japan, about fighting for them in the future? Because, I mean, it seemed as though that they were interested in you, but then since then we haven't heard much about any relationships between you and them.
Yeah, you know, K1, the Japanese organization, is just a whole are kind of funny to talk or you know, to have any interaction with. We talk to them, and you just don't know where you stand with them. You know, they say one thing, and then you never know what exactly is going to happen. And then you get a call like a week before the event being like, oh, we need you to fight. And yeah, the Japanese organizations, they run things much different.
Right.
And so we've talked to them, and, you know, they've expressed some interest. But since that, I haven't heard anything.
I wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, the internet. And obviously this is a place where a lot of good things can happen, but negative things as well. And it seems as though, you know, your appearance and your career in general, you know, since The Ultimate Fighter, is always a lightning rod of negative commentary from people on the internet. Do you read any of that stuff? And if so, I mean, what do you think about it? How does it make you feel to hear some of the things that people who, you know, don't know you, for better or for worse, say about you?
Well, you know, initially, like, it really bothered me. And you get to a point where it's like, you know, people for some reason like to comment on the negative aspects of everything, you know, and people are going to say what they want. And unfortunately, I can't, you know, talk to every single person, and the internet, you know, it's a powerful tool. I for a while I got kind of immersed in it. I don't pay too much attention now. Every once in a while someone will come to me and be like, oh, there's a thread here, or, you know, there's a comment here, and I'll go look at it. And, you know, for the most part, it's just banter. I think it bothers me the most is that with the, you know, being anonymous, people can say whatever they want. They can't stand behind their words because it's behind a screen name.
I totally agree what you're saying but I guess that's kind of the double-edged sword when it comes to the internet. When it comes to when the cameras were off, you know, The Ultimate Fighter and everything that happened at the end of your stay there, were you able to talk, you know, one-on-one, man-to-man with some of your teammates, BJ Penn, your coach, to give them your side of the story, to try to clear the air because, I mean, obviously we don't get to see everything that's shot in that house or at the gym. Did any of that ever happen, or were you just kind of did you just leave and they asked you to, get your stuff and go?
Yeah, they didn't even let me know first. Like they were just like, Daniel's gonna make a decision. They try to keep the drama aspect of it up as much as possible. I talked to everybody that the evening, and then the next day they had our meeting, and then Dana, ousted me. And at that point, I didn't get to talk to anybody. But right afterwards, I talked to BJ, and I've talked to some of the guys. Some of the guys I could really care less about talking to, but for the most part, like the guys that I've wanted to talk to, I've had a chance to.
Yeah, you seem to have a beef with Matt Wyman. You touched on that earlier, and Dan Lozon, Joe's brother. There seems to be something brewing, especially on the internet between you guys. What is the root to for all this hatred between you two?
As far as Wyman, the show left out a lot there's a lot more to the story than me just disliking Matt Wyman. There's a lot of backstory, and actually when we went to the tryouts, Matt was just talking really poorly about a couple friends of mine, and trying to blow himself up to be so great, and that kind of initiated everything. And I was antagonizing him on the show, and in a real life situation, I just would have stayed away from him, in that situation, I like of course like I was playing the antagonist. As far as the Lozon brothers, I don't know. Dan gets, he gets a little mouthy. Like, he's a young kid. He gets mouthy on the internet. And it's funny, like, Joe, like, outside of the internet, is a great guy. But, like, when he gets on the internet, he becomes a bit of a douchebag. I'll talk to the kid, or, I'll get a text message from him, and everything's fine. And then, I read some interview where he's talking shit. And then, he'll get online and put his piece in. And it's weird to me. I think it's just, like, I guess it's a kid, they're like, I just think Joe's so immersed in the internet that like he has his own persona that's outside of who he actually is. And I think that, I guess when you're just by a computer screen almost 24/7, I guess that's going to happen. With Dan, he's too shit about Dan. He's just a little punk kid.
After everything that went down, did you ever rethink your interest in continuing a career in mixed martial arts? Did you sour on it at all, or did it just fuel your fire to become even better and prove all the naysayers wrong?
Right after the show, I was more motivated than I've ever been. For the K1 fight, I was in great shape. I felt really good. I felt like that would have been a much, that fight in particular, I could have really shown everything that I am. I was, I was basically living at Team Quest, prepping for that fight. It was actually after that I got, any questions about, about my career and what's happening. The show, yeah, like obviously I was devastated by it. After the fact, thinking about it, and I'd be lying if I said I still don't think about what if, but unfortunately that's not how things work. I think after the K1 fight, I had questions about what I was going to do. And then after that, you have things that occur. Like, again, 07 has just been a rough year for me. And I'm waiting. I just want it to be done so I can start always fresh and rejuvenated.
I read an interview with you that was conducted in July on UFC Daily. And you had mentioned back then that, you were about to sign with a big organization. Was that organization supposed to be the K1, or was it another one?
No, I was in talks with the Elite XC. They wanted me to headline one of their upcoming shows. It was actually supposed to be December, but they canceled the entire show. But we just couldn't come to an agreement financially. I'm still talking to, a few of the major organizations, and I'll have a good home in OA. I think, we've talked to Strikeforce, we've talked to HD Fights, we talked to Showtime, Elite XC,
IFL.
I think, and then we never got a chance to talk to IFL. I thought about it. I'm not really sure what they're doing with their organization. That was the one organization that we didn't talk to. I should have I actually should have spent a little more time talking with them. So yeah, but no, the other organizations, talking to them, and I, again, like, I'm sure I'll find a home where I feel comfortable. It's just really at this point, it's just a matter of some small, you know, it comes down to management at this point, you know?
Is there one in particular, one of those promotions that you mentioned that you would feel most comfortable fighting for? Or is it really just come down to whoever offers you the best deal?
You know, the two that we've been talking to that I feel are like the forerunners at this point, that, you know, I think in 08 you'll probably find my home is either HGNet or Strikeforce.
Okay. And does it ever come into your mind where you might think that someone is wanting to sign you because of the persona that you had on The Ultimate Fighter, but and not because of your actual talent in the cage? Like, are they trying to sign the Gabe Rudiger that, you know, stirred up the pot there and you're trying to move away from? Or is it just, you know, whatever they want, as long as you get signed, it's all good?
Well, you know, I don't have blinders on. I realize that the reason why I'm marketable is the TV show, you know, regardless of my fight ability. Well, and also, you know, I'm a 3-time WC lightweight champion, so that works for my marketing as well. But if the organization wants, you know, is going to use that, I have no problem with it. You know, I think any organization that picks me up, do I think I'm the best fighter in the world? No, I don't. You know, but I think I'm a very competitive lightweight, and all my fights are exciting. When I lose, you know, it's an exciting fight. When I win, it's an exciting fight. I'm not a decision fighter. If you look at my record, I have one decision in, you know, 14 bouts, or 15 bouts, one decision. And most of my fights end in the first round. So, you know, I think that regardless, all the organizations, of course, they're looking at me as the guy from Ultimate Fighter, and there's name recognition because of that. But, you know, my skill set's going to decide how I am in that organization regardless.
So you mentioned that 2007 was a bit of a rough year, but I guess one of the positive notes for you this past year was, you know, joining up with Team Quest, one of the best teams in mixed martial arts. How has that experience been so far? And, you know, just getting to work with some of the great guys in that group must be unbelievable, right?
Oh yeah, it's great. You know, I've actually trained with Dan on and off for quite some time. I think the biggest thing is, you know, some of the unsung heroes of Team Quest, like Keith Sims and Ryan Parsons. Keith Sims is a former MMA fighter and former Olympian, who's really helped me with my wrestling. Ryan Parsons is, you know, he's another unsung member of Team Quest who does our nutrition, our strength and conditioning, and runs our practices. But overall, yeah, it's incredible. I mean, I feel very blessed to have the team that I work with. Everyone's, you know, cohesive and assists where they can. So yeah, I'm very, very happy with my team.
And it might not be for any of the big organizations that we spoke about, but do you have any fights signed for the next couple of months?
No, actually, I've actually had a shoulder injury it's been lingering for 4 or 5 months, and I've just been getting cortisone shots, and it's gotten to a point where I just have to rehab it. So right now, you know, I took a fight on short notice, I don't know, maybe three weeks ago now.
Right.
And I couldn't prepare for it properly because of my shoulder. I don't want to go, like, I need to rehab this. So I'll probably be out for a good month, 2 months. You know, I'm doing what I still can do. Like, I can still do cardio. I can still work on my kicks. I can, you know, do a lot of legs and core work, but I can't do anything with my upper body right now at all. So,
all right, Gabe. Well, thank you very much for taking the time. Good luck with the rehab, and hopefully 2008 is a lot more positive for you in terms of your career than 2007 was. And we hopefully maybe see you back on one of those organizations that you mentioned sometime soon.
Thanks. Appreciate it.